at me. No, seriously, look at me. What do you see? I like that. Keep going. Chances are really good that you are thinking you see a middle-aged Asian woman up here on stage who has worked very hard for every single one of these white hairs on her head. And you would be right. If any of you are leaning into stereotypes or your implicit biases, some of you may be thinking that you are looking at a rule follower, a promise keeper, a good human. And you would be right. I was, until I wasn't. You see, there was a mix-up, if you will. I am the child of immigrants from Hong Kong. The best thing a Chinese child can be is guai. That is the Cantonese word for good. Obedient. You do as you're told. As a child of immigrants, you're always also on, scanning the room, figuring out what the rules of engagement are, figuring out what is expected of you. When you're also always observing, you're also very quiet, which then helps perpetuate your reputation of being a very guai child. So I got older, grew up, started dating. Wouldn't you know it, men would tell me I could never have an Asian wife. Men would tell me, all of this unsolicited, by the way, I could never have mixed-race children. They would tell me this on the first date, the third date. One gentleman had the good timing to tell me 6 months in. And here I am thinking, who said I wanted to marry you in the first place? And who said I wanted kids at all? But why? Why are those the two things I was most outraged about? Probably because I didn't have the words back then to call racism for what it was. And probably because I was in denial that they were really only looking for situationships. So I started to hope for someone who wouldn't leave me. I hoped to minimize how many more times my heart would be broken. Date a nice guy, people said. Okay, so I met a guy. He seemed nice. We got married after several years of dating because that's the next step, right? After years of dating? I mean, I'm not stupid. My friends had kept asking, so how are things with... And I've seen all the movies, I've read all the stories, happily ever after. This is what you do after you date someone for years, right? And he hadn't left me. We were good to go? Turns out we were not good to go. It turns out that we had a lot of issues in our marriage. I'm not going to go into the tales tonight because it's about me, not him. But I will tell you that at the end of every tale, I was never more lonely than in that marriage. I will tell you that at the end of every tale, turns out we did not share the same values. And it turns out that at the end of every tale, he just was not willing to show up to do the work that's required to make a marriage work. That's all right, because I'm guai. I can do all the work, right? I got this. I tried ignoring things. I tried addressing things. We tried therapy together. I tried to change myself. I tried to change everything around me. And with every change, a little part of me died inside. But I got what I wanted. Got a guy that wasn't going to leave me. It got to the point where I just couldn't even recognize myself anymore. But here I was raising two young children. So I thought, I know what to do. I am going to slow down the dying every day a little bit. But here's the thing with kids, when you look at them, you are reminded of their innocence, of their potential, of their curiosity, their joy, their goodness. Children are good without being obedient. But here's the thing, though, with kids, is that they look to you to see what they're supposed to do. And I realized they cannot think that this is a relationship worthy of having. This is not a relationship that is respectful and fulfilling. I did not want them to be trapped in a relationship where they were dying inside every day. And there was one moment where I knew what I had to do. Because I'm a rule follower, I listened to the flight attendants before every flight. And I was reminded that when all hell breaks loose, when that oxygen mask comes down, you put yours on first before you can turn and help those around you. I realized I had to save myself so that I could save my children. But how do I do that? I made promises, happily ever after. I took a vow, till death do us part. I was serious. I meant it. I am responsible. I said, I will love you forever. Forever. It turns out that forever is a very long time. And I struggled with how am I ever going to trust myself ever again? How am I going to tell anyone else that I will love them forever? How do I disappoint my children, my parents, everyone around me in such deep ways? Then I thought, oh, my parents. My parents, they had a couch in the living room by a window. Stick with me, this makes sense. And as a child, I learned all the contours of the couch, the texture of the upholstery, the colors of that fabric. And when I was a little older, my parents asked for help moving the couch. And it was then that I noticed that part of the upholstery had been faded, where the sun had been shining day after day for years. But it was only then that I noticed it was faded. That was me. Recognizable, but so, so faded. And yet here I am, I still need to raise my children so that they are equipped to live their best lives. And here I am, a faded shell of a memory. I realized I had to break my promises before I had the answers to these struggles. I had to do this because I had to not only find myself again, but I had to figure out who I wanted to be, what colors I wanted to be, what resonated, what's going to stick. And so I started doing these really new and terrifying and scary things to see what would resonate and who I wanted to be. Some of those things for your entertainment? Drumming? Still terrifying? That stuck. Flying a plane? So terrifying. Did not stick. Running really long distances? It felt really good until it didn't. Old back. The flying trapeze, a literal disaster. Belly dancing, so not pretty. No, it wasn't good, Handling a gun. I know, I should not be armed. That was not good. The hardest thing that I had to do was dare to have the audacity to fail. I had to do these things because I needed my children to know they can do hard things, that you can be scared and brave at the same time, that they have been given Mary Oliver's one wild and precious life to lead. I needed them to know that you are not just passively who you are, but that you have the agency to be who you want to be. I needed them to learn to trust themselves and see what resonates for them. Because I had not trusted myself. I had not trusted all those red flags of my ex-husband. Because I was holding on so tight to the narrative that I was supposed to be married. I know my children will make their mistakes, but I don't want them to make mine. And so people thought that I was a promise keeper, a rule follower, but they were mistaken. It turns out, instead, I am a lifesaver. Thank you.